Good evening. Welcome to the Soleri Report. Today is January 23rd, 2014. Ooh, it's cold here in Tennessee. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Coming up, you've been asking about subscriber lunches. We're working on the next one. We hope it's going to be a joint lunch with Going Organic magazine in Palm Springs in late April, but it will be in Palm Springs in late April. We'll keep you posted. Our theme tonight is Keep On Keeping On, and that's because, well, let me go back to something I had up in the blog last year, and I talked about in the wrap-up a great quote from the lead character in World War Z, Movement is Life. Brad Pitt is playing a rescue worker who's trying to get his family away from the zombies, and he tries to persuade a family that they're hiding out with to come, and he says, in a situation like this, he says, movement is the life. You got to keep on moving. And we're literally watching a very powerful deflation take hold. And there's a new wave coming and it's accelerating. And it's very important that we keep on building and moving into the future. And I know I'm very redundant about this, but I'm going to be redundant again. Please do not buy into a false framework that keeps you frozen. Don't wait for collapse. Don't wait for the collapse of the dollar. Don't wait for the collapse of the global financial system. Don't wait for any of these things. Build the future. Don't wait for the market, the great market clearing, because we're in a slow burn and labor deflation is going to keep on going. That's why I spent so much time in the wrap-up. Please read the wrap-up of this frame of global 2.0 versus 3.0. Because now that the financial coup d'etat is over, 3.0 is very resource-rich, and it's doing a high-tech, you know, hostile takeover of 2.0, and we're literally seeing a giant sucking sound from one to the other as very high-tech deflation takes over in the re-engineering of the global economy. Labor deflation is going to accelerate. There was an amazing article, a cover story in The Economist, and I think The Economist does a very good job of describing for Mr. Global what he's up to. It's kind of one of the key Mr. Global promo sheets, I would say. And it's got a picture of a tornado literally working its way around a room of people working at desks. The implication being, you know, our desk is going to be re-engineered by this high-tech tornado. It describes one report we've talked about several times in this Soleri report that estimates that about 40% plus of existing jobs are going to be disappear through automation within a reasonably decent period of time. And one of the things The Economist stresses, the government needs to get ready. Well, you know, I'm not sure how exactly that's going to work, because so much of what is happening has been really rigged by government. There was a great quote from Steve Forbes in the latest Forbes. Let me read it to you. It's in a section called The Lies Continue by Steve Forbes. Only a handful of economists, most notably Forbes columnist David Malpass, have pointed out that this monetary version of price controls he's referring to, quantitative easing, is a form of credit allocation. The federal government easily got all the cash it wanted at ultra-cheap rates, i.e. deficits without tiers. Big companies had no trouble accessing credit and putting their balance sheets in pristine order. But credit to small and new businesses dried up, a drought magnified enormously by bank regulators who told their charges to reduce risk and to document six ways to Sunday any loans to a non-big borrower. Remember, small and new businesses are the source of most new jobs. Through its quantitative easing, the Fed effectively sucked up much of the financial market short-term credit that normally would have gone to these businesses. Malpass observes, quote, the U.S. private sector has been facing one of the tightest monetary regulatory policies in business. I would not say that's the U.S. private sector. I would say that's small business. And so clearly there has been a wide discrepancy or handicap put on small business by government. So what is happening is not necessarily the way technology would operate in a market, but it is technologies that services the goal of centralization. We see an Oxfam report this week saying 85 richest people on the planet have the same amount of wealth as the poorest 3.5 billion combined. Bill Gates sort of came back and said that there are going to be no poor countries by 2035, but of course by the time that occurs, many people will starve because they didn't have access to Bill Gates's billions. Bill Gates can say he made the money in the private market. I would say he made that money in the service of the NSA. Anyway, but that's my opinion. So don't believe the story that this is just technology. This is the result of rigging the system in certain ways. And now government's going to have to deal with unprecedented unemployment and rising unemployment and falling incomes in many households at a time when its debt capacity has more than reached its limit. Story in that vein this week is Intel announces that their target employment by the end of 2014 is 5% less than their current workforce. That's 5,380 jobs. They were adamant that this was not going to come from firing, but as a result of people retiring or redeploying or people leaving voluntarily. But it's a chilling reminder of what's underway. Money and markets. So anyway, so theme for today is keep on keeping on. There is only one way to be successful in this environment is to see where things are going and move forward. Focus very much on your passion. And if you don't know what your passion is, certainly focus on deflating your expenses as quickly as you can. So the wave is upon us. Please take advantage of it. Money and markets. The markets are really off to a slow start in January. The month is not over. Let's see how it ends. But oftentimes there is a belief that as the markets go in January is a real signal of the rest of the year. Again, that reflects the fact that the world is grappling with deflation in a variety of forms. The big one, of course, is Mother Nature. And we see that here in North America as the cold front continues to pummel different parts of the United States, a new cold front moving into the East Coast this week. And then big headlines, including one in the Christian Science Monitor that I put up on the blog, about the California drought. The California drought has been going on for years. It's getting more and more serious. And this summer, if it continues, you'll see many farmers and parts of the agricultural community that are just going to have to throw in the towel. So the California drought is going to get very serious and underscore for many more people the issues around the importance of the food supply. Another big source, as I said earlier, in the source of deflation is this tender of Global 3.0 for 2.0, re-engineering a lot of jobs out of existence, replacing them with different ways of running processes and using technology. Some stories, a lot of stories up in the blog that fit this category this week. T-Mobile announces banking services for wireless customers, and it's designed to protect them from all sorts of bank fees, including overdraft fees, just when those kind of fees are reaching an all-time high. So very clever story. Check that out. We're seeing more and more headlines called the retail death rattle. And this is a complicated issue here in North America because on one side you've got the 3.0 re-engineering making life very difficult, particularly for the big department stores, Best Buy, Sears, or not Best Buy isn't a department store, but Sears, JCPenney's, and Macy's just struggling to find a way to evolve beyond the 2.0 business model. But on the other side, we see Obamacare hitting the discretionary income of a whole world of people who have been holding up a lot of these businesses for quite a while. And I talked about it recently in connection with what's happening to the Las Vegas sort of gambling industry. But when Obamacare knocks out that much discretionary income across the board, it's going to have a wide effect on retail across the board. Another interesting story, another good example of 3.0, Amazon has filed a patent processes that will allow it to send items before you buy them, which predict that it will that you will probably buy based on your buying patterns. Lots of stories on startup and incubators. Another in the high tech report in the Economist story. There's some articles about incubators and startups. We put one of them up on the blog, but if you want to check out that whole special report, it's a good one. Recent Gallup poll reports only 3% of Americans rank immigration reform as a top priority. Immigration reform is a top priority for Global 3.0 because, in fact, if you can change the rules so that anybody who goes to graduate school or college in America gets a college or graduate degree, gets a right automatically to get a green card, then you've suddenly got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of new entrepreneurs ready to get financed and to rebuild the 3.0 economy at high speed. Interestingly enough, a series of stories that reminds us when you have this kind of reengineering of the business model, one of the guys who often gets squeezed out, especially when corporations are looking for profits, is the mafia. And we see in organized crime, we see a real movement both in Italy and the United States against the traditional Italian mafia. We certainly know what the Vatican has been up to at the Vatican Bank. We've talked about it before, but headlines this week, Italy issues 90 mafia arrest warrants and seizes pizza restaurants. We have one of the mobsters who was the basis of the Goodfellas story just happened to be arrested after many, many years. Just more reports of the Italian mafia being squeezed out. Again, my read on that is that's basically, you don't need that layer, and the corporate profits need that money. Very important story in the global economy is Chinese growth. China's been hit hard by a variety of slowdown in the G7 world. Europe was the biggest buyer of Chinese goods, so as Europe has slowed down over the last 2 years, that's hit China. The reengineering of more manufacturing into North America also impacts China. And that's very much a 3.0 versus 2.0 story because it was 2.0 outsourcing to China that started to build Chinese manufacturing. Now, with 3.0 automation, some of that's coming back, and that has profound implications for China because one of China's great weaknesses is it has a lot of people it needs to keep working. And so Global 3.0 is going to be very tough on China unless China can find a way to really build middle-class consumption in a way that keeps people working. Needless to say, I'm always shocked when people talk about the quote-unquote war between China and America, and certainly there is an economic war. We cooperate and we compete, but the interdependencies are clearly growing, and China has had absolutely blistering growth. Some of that growth has depended on some pretty loose credit policies, both in real estate and in local government. We see lots of headlines this week, and they're up on the blog, about regulators in China trying to get some kind of arms around the shadow banking risks and try and prevent as much loose credit policies in local governments. We see a very interesting decision also up on the blog. An SEC judge is announcing they're going to bar the big four accounting firms from issuing audit opinions over the 6 months. How is that supposed to work now? The big four are going to, they're going to appeal that, but you have a huge number of listed companies on the American exchanges from China who are depending on those companies for their audit opinions, and of course continuing to trade in the U.S. markets depends on those audit opinions. So exactly how this is going to work, I don't know, but it's a big fight. And this is part of the concern about whether or not the Chinese system is accounting system and financial control systems are healthy and trustworthy. A lot of this, to me, is simply the symptoms of an economy that's been growing at blistering growth rates. It can't possibly continue to do that. What you need to do is you need to consolidate growth and you need to continue to build out your managerial and regulatory infrastructure. That's all part of a young country growing. One of the things that America can do if it gets really concerned about Chinese economic health is to bring down the oil price. And so if anything, slow growth in China, if anything, to me, augurs a lower oil price. But let's see what happens. There's no doubt that there has been fears that the Chinese economy might spiral down If we see China not grow stop or even a deflation there, it's going to be a big slowdown for the global economy. That's not unrelated to why we see more militarism in East Asia. It's one way to distract the populations, and frankly, war is a big job program. It's another way to traditionally keep the economies going. Some other stories, we saw interest rates temper a little bit, so the bond market for the beginning of the year has not had a bad period. I think that's just part of the natural channel. Interest rates have risen quite a lot. I expect them to keep rising, but we saw them back down just a little bit this month. But not surprisingly, new news from John Williams at Shadow Stats, reporting December and November existing home sales hit a 14-month low, and the recent home sale numbers are not good whatsoever. I would argue, again, it really depends on if you're an area with strong 2.0 or economy versus a strong 3.0. The areas of where 3.0 is strong, to me, the housing market continues to look strong. We're now beginning to see, and I described this in the wrap-up, but I'm going to be talking about this all this year, we're starting to see fascism promoted literally as fashion. As I've said, one of the results of the NSA scandals is that the private companies are going to become a lot more powerful in running what I call the data beast and the sort of surveillance systems. And so fascism is really being sold in a way that will make the consumer embrace it and want to promote and be part of being surveilled, if you will. We see Google announce smart contact lenses that allows a person to monitor their blood sugar levels. You look at it and you think, if you thought Google glasses were creepy, you haven't seen anything yet. That story up on the blog. Another story that you want to check out on cyber attacks on refrigerators and how in the Internet of Things, the hackers literally can hack into and use your possessions in your house and your car for a variety of interests. And again, the stories about drones and how wonderful drones are don't stop. An interesting twist, also a story up in the blog, the Tennessee legislature, God love them, have a bill before the legislature designed to cut off municipal services to the NSA encryption breaking facility at Oak Ridge. I thought that was a good one. Let's see if that passes. Lots of Sturm und Drang in the gold market as Germany only got its delivery of 5 tons and Deutsche Bank backs out of the LBMA market. And so a lot of going on. We have gold up a little bit this month. You know, if anything, I think this is part of an interim improvement or firming up in the gold price at the beginning of the year. I think it's a temporary thing, and again, as I've said before, I don't think you prove a bottom and prove the primary trend until you break through 1530 on the gold price and hold that line. So I think this is going to be a long year in the gold market, but the gold bugs are all abuzz about the German gold and what it all means. And one article after another saying that the gold price in the gold market is managed, and my attitude is, well, it's been that way my whole life. I don't see what's new. Our hero this week is Elise from the Potato Project video. Go to the blog and go to the food and health section, and there is a wonderful, very short video by a young student, a young woman who explains the difference between an organic and a non-organic potato, and it is not to be missed. If you really want to understand the difference between nutritious food and food that's not nutritious and chemically treated, I can't think of anything better. And it's proof positive that a school project, a science project can, or home ec project can turn not only into an internet sensation, but a little video that really can help a lot of people. This is a video that can help save your life if it really reaches home. ¶¶ couple questions in Ask Catherine. Let's turn to them. A reminder to send your questions to the comment section on the blog, post them there, or to askcatherine@salyer.com. Dear Catherine, I found the information and graphs contained within this article to be very interesting. The government and news reports have made it sound like retail sales are doing very well, but people still feel that they're struggling economically. This information shows that rising food prices have contributed dramatically towards improving retail sales numbers, which explains why people would be spending more in retail sales but not feeling better off economically. Essentially, all of this increase has occurred in food spending. Here's the article, and the subscriber sent in a link to one of Charles Smith's articles. I think Smith's terrific. I post a lot of his very informative insights, and I think this article makes a very good point. I agree with it. So that'll be posted on the blog tomorrow. I would just like to ask your opinion, if any, of the situation outlined in this article is in relation to the organization known as OPPT and its actions with certain UCC filings at the end of 2012. The subscriber then posts an article that gets into the straw man account filing systems. I'm not going to describe these in detail. I tend to... Let me say it this way. Everything that is happening on planet Earth today is very compatible with the concept that we're being run like a property system. And somebody somewhere is treating humans as if they're properties the way a farmer would treat a group of chickens. That said, what I've found is whenever you find a group of people who are trying to explain the system in terms of straw man accounts and UCC filings, what you tend to get is a group of people who are neither coherent and a system that kind of uses up a great deal of time but leads no place. And in my experience, it really doesn't matter. You know, the guys on the other side of the system don't respect the law. Whenever they set up a system of law to manage or control, if you try and hold them accountable under it, they don't respect that process anyway, and they have no problem, you know, doing a variety of violent things with impunity. So I've never spent a whole lot of time or money going down this pathway. And every time I've tried, again, I've run into a lot of time, a lot of expense, and a lot of incoherent people. So I tend to avoid the whole topic. But, you know, to the extent that someday someone ever sends me a pathway that appears to be coherent, I'm delighted to look at it, but this was not one of them. Dear Solari, I found this video to be interesting, describing all the filtering that Facebook is doing nowadays, and I thought it passed along. Thanks for doing that. I'll take a look. Another one, maybe you should ask John Williams for an update on the real employment measure, the stats for those in the workforce. What is the decreasing employed number in the workforce? That's a great idea. John Williams is someone we've had on the Solari Report. I think a great deal of him, and I think getting John Williams back to really unpack what's happening in employment this year is a great idea. Let's go to the movies. This week on Let's Go to the Movies, I wanted to suggest you take a look at Floored. It's a film about the business behind the Chicago trading floor and the trading of commodities and the impact of new technologies on that. Re-engineer is coming, as I said, in every industry, and putting a lot of people out of work as automation, including artificial intelligence, takes over. And we've certainly seen that in the financial markets. What we're watching, and keep an eye out for these headlines because they're very, very important to tell you where things are going. What we're watching throughout the big financial institutions is people in the fixed income divisions getting laid off. Traditionally, Goldman Sachs had a big business in fixed income. Their profits are down 21%. And I think part of that is the impact of Dodd-Frank and the sort of cutting of the latitude for doing proprietary trading, including in the fixed income areas. We watched the heir apparent at PIMCO, Mohammed El-Iran, leaving, and Mario Gabelli saying on an interview with Bloomberg, well, you know, he's not an equity guy, implying PIMCO has got to turn from the biggest house in bonds to try and build an equity business, which it's been doing without much success. The implication being PIMCO needs equity guys. So let's watch. I keep an eye on every effort to build up the muscle in the equity area, to do IPOs, to do mergers, to do ventures, because if we're going to switch from debt to equity, it's going to start with the staffing in the financial markets and institutions. So as automation takes people out in a variety of markets, let's see if it starts to, if the staffing shifts into equity and what happens on the equity side. Our interview this week is John Rappaport's really lovely discussion on what to do when things aren't working. And it's a reminder of how important it is when things don't immediately work to keep on going. And I always find John to be incredibly inspiring. And as I said in my blog post, this is the part of the year when I am immersed in the back office. And of course, with the markets being sort of struggling, and certainly with this kind of weather, with many people around the country being sick, it's that kind of time of year when you have to put your head down and keep on going. And so I found it quite a lovely little discussion to have and very inspiring for my January time. Coming up next week, we have a great interview with Chuck Gibson on the bond market. Of course, bond market to me is the big 800-pound gorilla in the room because there's nothing I watch as carefully as I watch interest rates because, precious metals and equities are on the tail and the bond market is the head and it wags the tail. So if you're interested in what's happening in the equity markets or in precious metals, what's going to happen this year is the Fed tapers and we continue to see the debt market really reach a capacity. Make no mistake about it, the impact of Dodd-Frank is very real because so much of what was happening in the bond market was being kept alive by a lot of speculative churning and activity, and with that speculative churning activity gone, some of the liquidity is coming out of the market. So we'll be talking about that this week. We recorded that yesterday, and we've got some great charts. We'll have the audio up with the video. We'll be posting it next Thursday night. You definitely want to get that. And we will also have the transcript next week of the wrap-up in booklet form, and I think you'll really enjoy that. So make sure you take time to check those out next week. And then the following week, I can't wait. Dr. Joseph Farrell is back for our quarterly conversation about the breakaway civilization and what is really going on. And then February 13th, Franklin Sanders on his jailhouse ministry. But we'll also have some time to talk to him about what's happening in precious metals. So until next week with Chuck Gibson, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.